Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to a very special edition of the Pens Nation Radio Show. October 25th, 2012, supposed to be the so-called deadline for the NHL to save an 82-game season. Does not look like that is going to happen, as both sides really did not meet at all today. It looks like we may see the entire month of November canceled. All the games in November possibly could be canceled tomorrow. Not confirmed yet, but it looks like that is going to be the case. Boy, what a way to start off the show. So depressing. Horrible.
I miss being able to say something positive on the radio. It's the same deal I've been doing, like different radio spots I've done. When I've done this show, I'm sure it's been the same situation for you guys. I never have anything good to say. People, my friends, my family ask me all the time, are we going to have hockey this season? Are we going to have hockey this season? And I tell them, no, I don't think so. And the look that they give me, just, it is so brutal to even describe it, because it's so depressing to me. And it's getting to that point where the really sloppy Thursday night football games just aren't tying me over anymore, so it's bad.
Yeah. I'm sure it's the look that Kanye West got from Taylor Swift whenever he interrupted her on stage, like someone just kicked her puppy kind of look. Is that what you're kind of saying?
No. Not. No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
It's the kicked puppy look is what you're saying there. Like,
oh, okay.
It's depressing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it is depressing, and kicking puppies is depressing. But thankfully,
that was the most depressing start to the show I've ever experienced. By the way.
It was kind of rough, but When Gary Roberts is around, there's certainly a lot of excitement going on. So we're going to be having him in just a little bit here on the program. Very excited to have him on because, he's Gary Roberts. I mean, how could you not be excited about that?
I'm terrified.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Andy Hughes, and as you heard them, Nick Richter, Joe Depto, and Ashley Langlois is also with us. You can call into the show at 347-202-0344 if you have any comments regarding the lockout. Anything really is fair game with us. You can tweet us at the Pens Nation as well. We hope to get a lot of listeners here. We'll have Gary on in just a little bit. But guys, we did see some other news. The New York Islanders are Brooklyn-bound. In 2015, they'll be moving there to the Barclay Center, which just opened in September, I believe. So is that a good move for New York? Obviously, the people on Long Island aren't going to be happy about that, but at the same time, they probably weren't going to get that arena deal done over there, and they're moving into a brand-new facility. So I guess that's a good thing. And they kept the team in New York. There are, three arenas very close to each other, three different teams in the NHL, but nonetheless, it's a very nice facility. So what do you guys think about that?
I think if you could have three teams that close together, and it wasn't like they were incredibly far away to begin with, but if you could have three teams that close together, why couldn't Toronto, the Toronto area, get another team?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
You stole my thunder. You stole my next response. That was exactly what I was going to say. And I would even go as far to say that a team in Hamilton and a team in Markham would both be far more successful than the New Jersey Devils' pathetic attendance output on a nightly basis and the New York Islanders' pathetic output on a nightly basis. At least the Devils have a good team and a really good arena. Not necessarily in the best part of town, but still a very nice arena in its own right. I think it's people that are in Ontario and people who have been clamoring for another team have absolute total and complete reason to be pissed off about this, because it's, when you think about it, it's absolutely absurd that the NHL has pumped so much money into keeping Phoenix where it is. Columbus, they fed him a bone with the All-Star game, but that's not going to work out. I mean, you have these struggling markets, but yet these markets in Canada that would be making them lots of money, it just, they don't really want to grow it in different areas. I get it, the Midwest, the Southwest, whatever. But anyway, enough on that. That's my point on that. That's my two cents on that. I just don't see – my final point on it would be, I just don't see why the NHL, is, if they're so concerned about making – hockey-related revenue, why you would stay away from where your cash cow is. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm sure Ashley would actually love to have another Canadian team, too.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Ashley?
You know what? It would definitely be of benefit to have a couple more in that area, just with Toronto ticket prices being the way that they are. And the markets definitely are viable. But, you know what, I don't know, because even to go even further, Quebec City, they're clamoring, they are begging to have the Nordiques back, and you would thrive, they would thrive on that rivalry between the Habs and the Nords. So, you know what, realistically, anywhere in that kind of area, you could throw another team in, and you would be successful, but, you know, the ball's in their court, and as we know, they're not exactly the most intelligent people in the world sometimes, so...
I've always thought they should move Columbus to Seattle, and they should move Phoenix to Quebec City, and then move the Islanders into either Markham or Hamilton. That's always been my take on that. But it's not going to happen. So.
No. Because Gary Bettman hates Canada.
All right, well, we are very happy to be joined by a very popular former Pittsburgh Penguin player. We'd like to welcome Mr. Gary Roberts to the Pens Nation Radio Show. Gary, how you doing today?
Good, guys. How you doing today?
We are wonderful. It's almost 80 degrees here in Pittsburgh, so I'm not used to it around this time of the year in October. But before we get to the hockey-related questions, just wanted to catch up with you a little bit. How is life after playing hockey? I know you opened up the fitness institute. It seems to be going pretty well for you.
Yeah, you know what? It's been a nice transition. You know, I always say nothing will replace playing hockey for me. I missed it every day. But this is a nice second. I get to pass on the information I've obtained over the course of my career and ways to hopefully help some young players avoid some of the challenges that I did have.
Yeah, this seemed like a natural transition for you after your playing career. When did you get into kind of the fitness and nutrition aspect of it?
Well, for sure at age 30, when I lost my career to injury, you know, I realized at that time in my life that in order to just get healthy, I was going to have to make some changes to my lifestyle, and nutrition and training was obviously the two things that I changed the most. That gave me a second opportunity that I was so grateful for to come back and play for all those years when, you know, I was basically written off at 30 years old that I wouldn't play again. And I know the training and nutrition, the research I did, and the steps I took in changing the ways that I lived really was what gave me that second opportunity.
Gary, I mean, the types of, you know, changes you're talking about, it seems like you've passed it on to some other current NHL players, and some of the guys you've worked with have had just outstanding success both on and off the ice after working with you. Is there something specific about your training that just is totally unique from everywhere else? Is there something that they get from you that they just can't get from anywhere else?
Well, I think the experience of playing for as long as I did is something that I, you know, can offer that a lot of strength coaches can't offer. But I think the everyday consistent attention to maintenance. I believe that, you know, players train in May and June and July and August, and all of a sudden they say, okay, I'm just going to be a hockey player for the next 8 months, and they forget about their nutrition, and they forget about their body maintenance when I talk about, you know, treatment and stretching and some maintenance strength training. It's a 12-month-of-the-year job now. It's not like you go went to training camp to get in shape, and then you take your summers off and eat chicken wings and drink beer. We did that. We did that in the 80s. and it didn't work for me. That's why I retired at 30, was because of that lifestyle. And I'm not saying you can't have a cheat day, but if you want to be a professional athlete and you want to have a chance at longevity and you want to be an elite player for a period of time, you have to live differently than we maybe used to in the 80s.
Gary, you were so loved here in Pittsburgh for the short amount of time that you were here. Talk about your time here in Steel City.
Well, for sure. I look at my career, and I look at the places I played, and Pittsburgh, for me, I felt like I was there forever. I think I was there a year and a half, but for me, I so enjoyed playing in Pittsburgh. Every time I get an opportunity to come back to Pittsburgh for an event, the Mary Lee Moon Fantasy Camp being the one I came back for, if I get a chance to come out and watch some games, I love Pittsburgh. I love the people in Pittsburgh, and the way that I was treated there, for me, is a memory I'll always cherish by the organization, my teammates. I just found it to be a great, great hockey town, sports town in general, and I can't say enough about my time there. I had the opportunity to play with some great young players that were just finding their own in the National Hockey League, too, and you know, I came there with the expectations of being this leader, and I got there, and, you know, it's always tough to jump into a situation around March when you get traded and you're trying to find your way and you're trying to just sit back and listen. And what I saw when I first came to Pittsburgh, I remember saying to Ray Sherrill, I mean, this is the best group of young players that's been around for a long time. And I knew they were going to win a Stanley Cup in the next few years. I just could feel they had that closeness. And I remember, you know, trying to kick the guys off the ice because we were late for every bus ride and every plane ride to get our young players off the ice. And that was the way it used to be for me. You know, we'd go to Calgary when I was a young player, and we never left the rink. We're always on the ice doing extra stuff. We're fooling around or in the dressing room playing ping pong. And we had such a close team in Calgary. I believe that's why we won the Stanley Cup in 1989. And then when I looked at that Pittsburgh team that eventually won the Stanley Cup, I'm like, you know, it's no secret why they won that Stanley Cup is because of how much time they spent together at the rink, working on their games, going for lunch after, just being together. I think they had that closeness that we had in Calgary in 1989.
It kind of rejuvenates your career just a little bit, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I felt like a kid again. I absolutely, being around those young players, for me, I think about Jordan Staal and Sidney Crosby and Brooks Orpik. At the time, Colby Armstrong was there, which was just a great young player in the dressing room. And obviously, they had a veteran, Mark Recchi, who helped me a great deal when I first got there and was such a great leader for that team. So I just felt like we had such a good mix of guys when I first got to Pittsburgh. I could just go to the rink. Honestly, I said to my wife, in the first 2 weeks in Pittsburgh, and both how she was treated too, I remember coming home from the rink and saying, my gosh, this might be the nicest people I've ever met in Pittsburgh. Helping her at the rink with my little guy Noah, getting them seated at the rink. Just the whole experience of Mellon Arena and the organization for us was first class all the way.
Yeah, well, we certainly enjoyed watching you play here in Pittsburgh, but kind of getting fast-forwarding here to the current day NHL, the fans are really missing any NHL hockey. Wow. Any NHL hockey.
It's either early for you or late. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's early. It's early. Fans missing all the NHL hockey, obviously the lockout going on. A lot of frustration among fans. You were a part of a few lockouts in your career. What do you make of this whole situation?
Well, I understand it's a tough situation. I'm sure there's many different views on both sides. I think back to my day in Calgary there. We had the strike, then we had the lockout, and then we had the big lockout for the whole season that we lost when I was a Leaf. they're just not good experiences for the player. The player worked so hard today to be ready to play in September, and to sit back now and do all that work and not have you know, an avenue to show your progression is frustrating for these young players. And you know, I tell all my young guys now that I work with, guys, you got to stay close. You know, you don't have to work your butt off every day, but when you work, you work, and when you rest, you rest. And try and keep them as fresh as we can right now, and you know, on both sides. No one wants there not to be NHL hockey. In my opinion, the last years of my career and the way the game is played today, I love the game. I love the way the game's played. I love the skill and the speed of the game today. For me, there's not much wrong with the game other than the fact that we're not getting an opportunity to watch it right now, and it's sad for everybody.
Gary, a big issue going on with the NHL right now, in addition to the lockout and the situation with players' contracts and everything, is also player safety. There's been a lot of talk about changing equipment to the helmets, about changing rules, about changing different things about the game overall. With the lockout going on and hot button issues like that happening, where do you see the face of professional hockey in 5 years from now, even in 10 years from now?
Well, I mean, I do believe that, you know, for me, it's one thing. I think with the ability for players to fly around at high speeds, with the conditioning of the players today, with the speed of the game, I just believe there's more high-speed collisions. And there's no doubt that the one rule that I would let back in the game to try and slow down the game a little bit is a little bit of interference. Maybe not with your hockey stick, of course, but with body positioning. And there's just some incidents out there that normally wouldn't happen if you could just step in front of a guy and impede his progress a little bit. And I think they need to get that part of the game back to try and improve player safety. So you're not seeing as many collisions at high speeds. And we all know the ice isn't any bigger, but the players are bigger, stronger, faster. No doubt about it. Equipment, whether they can do, you know, improve the safety of the helmet and take away some of the padding and some of the elbow pads and shoulder pads. You know, there's obviously some room there to be gained. But overall, I just believe that players need to be aware, need to be alert, need to do their best to try to avoid those opportunities for headshots. And you know, you look at Sid Dickery. I mean, I could look at the hits that he took, and honestly, it's amazing to me that he had the issues that he did. And I'm not sitting here today critical of any of that stuff. I never was diagnosed with a concussion. I have no idea what a concussion feels like. And so for me, it's just a little weird that we're having so many concussions reported today compared to when I was playing years ago. I don't recall ever seeing the amount of concussions obviously reported today. You know, maybe they're over-reported today. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is other than the fact that players need to take it upon themselves to be in shape, to be alert, and not put themselves vulnerable positions if they can help it.
Well, thanks a lot, Gary. Really appreciate it. You were great. Thanks for time.
Hey, guys. Have a great day, guys. And don't hesitate to call anytime.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
And that was Gary Roberts. Boy, what a great guest. Just tremendous. I mean, we've had a lot of great guests on the show, but I think Doc Emmerich has some competition, don't you guys think?
That was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved what he had to say about the locker room atmosphere when he came to Pittsburgh, and he was talking about this is the best group of young players that he's been around in such a long time, and he knew that they were going to win the Cup. That speaks so highly about the Pens locker room and the atmosphere in the room, and you always hear about how good it is, but to have someone like Gary Roberts talking about how good that is and speaking so highly of such a young core that that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was very, very friendly guy. A lot of good stuff about the lockout too. I like how he said, you know, there's nothing wrong with the game except the fact that we're not watching it right now. That's a he nailed it right on the head right there. I mean, it's not like the 2000, you know, in 2004 where there was a lot of issues that needed to be worked out. That's really not the case this time around. So I thought that was really good. Just a lot of great stuff. And he was, you know, he really sounded like, you know, he didn't even want to get off with us. You know what I mean? It was just a tremendous interview. We really thank Gary for coming on and offering another appearance on the Pens Nation radio show.
I don't know if I can handle it.
I think we've made a bigger acquisition this season than the Minnesota Wild did.
Wow.
We may have Gary Roberts on our roster this fall.
You just wait till we get Ken back.
Ken Will and Gary Roberts? I don't. My mind can't handle this stuff, man.
Man. The world may explode. Well, if you've numbers 347-202-0344. You'd like to call in, tweet us at the Pens Nation. Got about 8 minutes, 8 minutes, 45 seconds remaining left in the live portion of the show. I don't know if maybe we'll go into overtime. Because there's obviously not much overtime being played, not even three periods being played in the NHL right now.
Reminders.
Yeah, just a reminder if you didn't know. We're not seeing NHL hockey, but we're seeing the Penguins minor league teams struggling. Wheeling is 0-6, and Wilkes-Barre Wilkes-Barre, I don't think they've won a game either. So it's just been a rough time all around for the Penguins organization. I mean, you got a lot of the Pittsburgh players just skating at South Point, and you know, none of the other teams have a win under the belt. Obviously, that will change hopefully soon. But you have to wonder if there any concern there. I know it's very early on, but
well,
did we maybe overlook some of these prospects on the Penguins?
I mean, I think a lot of people had such high hopes for the season for both Wilkes-Barre and Wheeling, and this might come as somewhat of a surprise to them, but all these other teams have a lot of guys coming down the depth charts too, playing big time minutes for their AHL affiliates. I think sometimes we may overvalue our guys when we're looking at fourth round guys as like gods in a way. And that's really no way to look at it. You got to look at it with kind of reality in a way. And a lot of these guys, do they compare to the Ryan Nugent Hopkins out there? No, I don't think so. I mean, especially forward-wise, there's like one actual prospect in that bunch right now. So it's kind of hard.
Well, the thing that I would also add to that, to those players' credit and to the credit of both the AHL and ECHL affiliates, especially in Wilkes-Barre, this is especially true there, they've had so much roster turnover from last year to this year, and those guys have barely played. You have Joe Morrow making his AHL debut, or his pro debut, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Bennett making his pro debut. A few other guys making their pro debut. I mean, guys like Brian Strait are, you know, they're at home. That's kind of their wheelhouse. It's where they've played their best. But guys like that have not played at that level for a long time. So, and even in the case of a guy like Joe Morrow, who has looked pretty good in those six games, I think Morrow is one of the few players in, you know, and this is just the progression of the way NHL defensemen have become, but I think he'll be better in the NHL than he will be in the AHL. Mm-hmm. Simone Dupre, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to him later on, but in terms of the forwards, yeah, I mean, you're probably, there's some talent there besides Bennett, but I think if you were to talk to scouts around the league, I would probably, you know, they would probably agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wilkes-Barre 0-4 on the season. They'll be playing again tomorrow night at 7:05. Looking at the statistics here, Philippe Dupuis has 2 goals, 2 points, and Bo Bennett actually has 2 assists, 2 points. Morrow with 1 goal. Eric Tangrady with 1 goal in 4 games. So definitely some guys there to keep an eye on. As and Philippe Dupuis and Ben Ferrer, those kind of guys were kind of brought in as kind of veteran type players on to kind of show the ropes on the, that Wilkes-Barre Scranton team, as they're one of the older guys that, you know, have had some NHL experience and are old for, I guess, AHL standards. See how they do. Trevor Smith has one goal, one assist as well. So, but you're absolutely right, Joe. I mean, they got a ton of new faces. You know, Brian Dumoulin. There's just a lot of guys. Jeff Zatkoff has been. Zatkoff is actually. Zatkoff has been in three of the four games. He has a 3.07 goals against average. Thiessen has only been in the one game, 3.01 goals against average. So it's early, but, you know, I think as time goes on, obviously they'll get better. I mean, they're trying to get used to everybody right now. And that's hard to do.
Especially so early on. I mean, and it's not like they're playing absolutely awful hockey right now. I mean, they're playing all right hockey, and they're just not getting the W's that you expect. Wilkes-Barre may have the best goalie tandem in the entire league, actually, in the entire AHL, because, I mean, both of those guys are all-star guys, actually, and there's not another team I think that boasts that in the entire league.
Yeah.
They've not played what I think people have expected them to play, which is kind of unfortunate. They do have their first home game this Friday night in Wheeling, and it's 2 weeks into the season already, and this is only their first home game. So it's a little bit of bad luck being on the road a bit for them and getting used to people up in Wilkes-Barre and stuff like that, too. And actually, Wilkes-Barre's got a couple of injuries, too, with Ryan Bochuzo, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm only making that up. Yeah.
No, I think that's right. I think that's right.
And I know they sent Kuhn Hackle and Dominic Ewer up from Wheeling to take over for a few of the guys banged up there, too.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Wheeling, we actually have a Wheeling trip coming up. What is it, November 9th, I believe?
Yeah, November 9th.
November 9th, we'll be – are we getting that party suite? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, it's looking like Party Suite Central.
So Party Suite – the Pens Nation Party Suite. We're going to have...
Oh, my gosh. That's a great ring, too. We should invite Gary Roberts.
Yeah. We're gonna try to get a big group of people. So if you're interested, definitely tweet one of us. We'll probably put something on the site, too. But definitely just contact one of us. We're shooting for, what, 20 people? Is that what you said?
Yeah, 20 people or so.
20 people? And it's a really good deal, too.
Like $18.
If we get 20 people, it'd be $18 per person. And we get, you said $50 in food. So it's a great deal. Have some fun going down to Wheeling, watch the Nailers game, and the party suite. It's brand new, right? Brand new party suite.
Yeah, brand new. This is actually tomorrow night's the first game for it.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to lose my mind when I see West Bank Arena with actual modern technology in it.
Yeah, I've heard. My one friend was actually, I think he was there today, looking at the new stuff, said it was
new.
They have a video board? Is that true?
Yeah, they've got a couple of video boards.
Oh, my Lord, the times. And now it's only downtown Wheeling can get buildings.
But they still have the WAMP FM kind of scoreboard. That's kind of depressing.
Well, I'm sorry.
It hasn't been WAMP FM for like 10 years.
We need to somehow get Wolverine and Elvis into that party suite.
We got to get Ken Will there with his
trumpet. And Ken Will, too, yeah. Oh, that'll be the real party there. It's not a party suite without the trumpet.
No.
I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while.
Cool time. I know our friend Josh Yoli is going to come down for that trip. That's his first ever trip.
Yeah.
Being flying to Wheeling.
I mean, we can write this in Josh Yoey's baby book, his first Wheeling game.
Absolutely.
Baby book? I don't know. his book is first.
Fully emasculated Josh.
Oh, my.
Rob Ross.
Andy, is it early or late for you?
I don't know. You usually write your first stuff in your baby book. Never mind.
Don't know what you're trying to say.
I don't know either.
We need Doc Emmerich calling that game, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, Doc's got to be so depressed with the Pirates collapse and the this hockey thing. But we're actually going to be ending our live feed, so Thank you for listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show. We will see you in overtime.
All right. It's overtime.
It's overtime.
Hello.
But, yeah, like, I mean.
You finally got internet back.
You serious?
This guy.
Wow.
Dead serious 1 second ago.
Goodness gracious.
That's how that works.
So as soon as the show ends.
As soon as the show ended.
Unreal.
Yeah, life is awesome.
But Doc's got to be so depressed.
Yeah, that's, for someone like him, there's, I mean, at least he could watch baseball still, but it's, you know he'd rather be watching the Buccos, and you know he'd rather be doing some homework for some hockey games. It doesn't even matter who, you know.
Yeah.
We should actually send that invitation out on the night of the Doc Emmerich and just set up a party chat up in the suite.
Party chat in the party suite.
What if he actually shows up? What are we going to do?
What I would do?
I'd lose my mind.
I love Doc Emmerich.
And Gary Roberts.
Yeah. Gary Roberts was awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, you need Joe to contact your parents to let Josh stay on your floor.
Actually, what I was thinking about is making my parents stay in a hotel and then Josh and I can party.
Oh.
In high school.
Just you and Josh?
We're going to stay up late playing Halo and, you know, doing like 15-year-old boy stuff. It'll be just like, it'll be just like 2001 all over again. Also, this is completely not happening and like totally untrue. I don't even like Halo.
Dude, you're going to creep Josh out.
I know. I know. I realized that when I was talking. I was like, he's going to hear this.
It's just going to be you and me. Yes. You're going to be alone, Josh.
It was never said, but you recently started.
I've never talked to Wheeling, ever.
Never, ever, ever.
Recently started following me, so he's going to unfollow me. He's going to be like, oh, God, I saw this asshole.
Nah, it's going to be a fun time, though, I think.
It's going to be incredible, yeah.
Even if I do creep people out with inside jokes from other places.
Just don't do depth of poetry.
Want a hot dog?
Oh, ow, ow, ow. Tonight.
We're not going to go any further.
We want to, but...
We want to, but...
Wow. Well, that's it for the conversation.
Radio show. I said hi.
This isn't the radio show.
All right. Well, hopefully we wake up tomorrow and there's some glimmer of hope. Otherwise, I'm jumping off the bridge.
Yeah, this is really depressing. It's, like, awful. Especially if they cancel all the November games, which they likely will.
Yep.
So we'll be in this position a month from now still, just waiting. Yeah. God bless the USA.
All right, well, that does it.
Get too many messages coming here.
Radio show, we gotta go bang bodies.
Bang bodies.
Ashley's phone, please. That's it. Well, see you later.
See you tomorrow.